This is a true story. What follows is based on extensive research, interviews, and published accounts. Some characters have been created for dramatic purposes. A teenage couple in dark goth clothing are in a shop. Outside, someone's watching them.
That one?
Both of them have facial piercings, and the girl's hair is fashioned into long dreadlocks, some of which are bright red. As the lad pays for their bottle of wine, a boy, who's come in behind them, makes a comment about the girl's hair.
Yeah, you cheeky get, I wash it all the time.
I'm sorry.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, go on.
Don't let anyone do that. It feels like rope.
Yeah, it is. Touch it again, I'll have to charge it.
Oh, wait, where you are?
Home.
Why are you coming out park, you know?
The two goths share a smile, and moments later leave the shop with the boy and his mate. The four walk off into the night.
It's pretty cool. Hey, it's rockin' salty.
All right.
The group joins others at a deserted skate park and the goths open their wine. A blonde girl.
Always wanted one, but my mum wouldn't let us.
A piercing.
Okay.
The couple pass out cigarettes.
You guys could come in more often.
Can I have a picture with you?
Of course.
No one's ever asked for a picture before.
The group slide down from the skate ramp and pose with their arms around each other as a photo is taken on a phone. Apart from the two goths, the others are wearing casual clothing, hoodies or puffer jackets. BBC, murdered for being different.
Go on, come on.
Come on. 1:25 a.m. Back up Lancashire, 11th of August 2007.
Ambulance, it's an ambulance, please. They're fucking dying, man. Quick, fucking dying.
There's a lad, a handy and his girlfriend.
I'm on vehicle, no.
The badly beaten goth couple are left lying on the park's asphalt with hoodies under their heads as emergency services arrive.
Wait there, please, run the way. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Speeding back in time from the paramedic's light shining in the goth lad's eye, back past the couple buying wine and laughing on a sofa, the girl in a confrontation, the couple at a gig, and the girl getting wings painted on her back. 2 years before the attack. Brief glimpses of a woman with pink hair headbanging and other people in dark clothing dancing. The goth teenager is at the gig under dim flashing lights, shaking his head to the beat and staring distantly towards the ceiling. The flashing lights create snapshots of revelers jumping about in time to the music. Glancing around the venue, the lad locks eyes with the girl with dreadlocked hair. He stops dancing, his black fringe partially obscuring his eyes that have dark makeup around them. As the lights flash on and off to the beat of the music, the girl checks him out again and finds him staring at her. She has piercings around her mouth, a pale complexion and thick dark eyeliner.
You are so cool.
She mouths the lyrics. Yelling the last line, she starts to dance frenetically again, and when he goes to join her, he loses her in the crowd. He struggles over to where she was, and she reappears. They try to have a conversation. He He leans towards her and asks her name. She smiles, reaches into her hair for an eyeliner pencil, and writes Sophie on her hand before holding it up for him to read. He then does the same, and his name is Rob. He waves his hand across his face, and as the song ends, he asks,
"Do you want to go somewhere quieter?"
The third floor of a disused warehouse.
This place is amazing.
Oh. Just imagine it is prime. Full of people, machines, noise. Noise so loud, everyone having to work in their own world. A world of one. And you look at it and wonder, don't you? Why are we still here? And it's not like we've found our new thing, is it? Our new meaning. We're all here. We're here and we don't have a clue why. Just...
Sorry, I'm boring you. I tend to go on with myself, so...
She crosses the dank, dilapidated space and comes to stand in front of him, their breath catching in the chill night air. They lean closer and kiss without saying another word. Confetti puffs into the air and falls around them in a steady rain of white paper. The night of the incident, Sophie is cradling Rob on the ground.
What the fuck is wrong with this?
Much.
All right. Do something! Don't just stand there! Please!
Now, in daylight, the couple are lying alone somewhere. They laugh and kiss.
I can tell you go first, Mark, okay?
The bloodied Sophie and Rob on ambulance trolleys. An ID card in Rob's discarded wallet. Now, he's painting wings on Sophie's back.
I think I might finally have a muse.
Muse?
Yeah. The Mona Lisa to my Da Vinci.
Give him a lemon.
She moves to get into a more comfortable position. The feathered grey wings he's painting cover her whole back.
When you said you wanted to paint me, I didn't know you meant paint me.
Yeah. But you're an angel, you need wings. I'll grab a mirror so you can have a look at
me. Okay, nice and easy. Steady.
Paramedics wheel the couple into separate ambulances. Some of Sophie's long dreadlocks hang off the side of the trolley. The emergency vehicle's blue lights flash into the night. An officer visits a house.
Mr. Maltby. There's been an incident with your son, Robert.
What's happened? Is he all right?
Rob's concerned parents hurry towards a hospital reception where a nurse is standing.
Excuse me, our lad's in here. Robert Maltby, he's with his girlfriend, we think. They've been in some sort of fight or... Could you hold on a moment, please?
She nods to a doctor in a white shirt who takes them to an intensive care unit where Rob's on a ventilator. His mum's face crumples. She edges forward, shaking her head, appalled at his bruised and swollen face.
Can I touch him?
Of course.
His dad sniffs back tears, and the bearded doctor looks on with a sombre frown. Rob's mum stares at her son's forehead.
Is that a footprint? Oh.
Rob's dad sinks into a chair, with his head in his hands. 13 minutes after the attack.
Where the fuck's the ambulance? Where is it?
I'm gonna help.
A topless, shaven-headed boy.
Hurry up! We're fucking dying! Hurry up, please! Hurry up!
Okay, what exactly's happened?
I don't know, I was just walking through.
Right, wait there, please, run the way.
To Rob.
Can you hear me? Do you know what's happened? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Do you know their names? What?
The paramedic looks up, but the lad's gone and is pacing round the back of the skate park to where some of the guys from earlier are hanging out. With an air of unnerving calmness, the lad strides past, drawing looks from the others. As sirens grow louder, the others scarper, but one lad puts his jacket around his topless mate and ushers him away. The shaven-headed kid arrives home, where a middle-aged woman has fallen asleep in front of the TV.
Son? Is that you?
Yeah.
What time is it?
Don't know.
He shuffles past her, still wearing his mate's jacket. Now in a bathroom, he's hurriedly washing his face, which has blood smeared on it. Once he's cleaned himself, he takes the time to wipe the sink with his fingers and then stares at his reflection in a mirror with an odd air of detachment. Dozens of action figures stand on a tabletop in his darkened bedroom, where he now lies wide awake on his side in bed. His house is a small terraced cottage. At hospital, Rob's IV bags are being changed as a doctor talks to his parents.
We're going to run some tests to help us make a clearer assessment of the damage. It'll give us a better indication of what we can expect over the next few days.
The parents stare at their boy. His mum pats his shoulder as he's wheeled out unconscious. His eyes are a deep purple and badly swollen, and there are cuts and contusions all over his face. Rob's father sits down, staring ahead in shock. Through the blinds of the intensive care room, Rob's mother watches the medical staff wheel their son away. A damp early morning in the valley town of Backup. Electricity pylons stand sentinel over the rolling countryside. Birds circle beneath a leaden sky as scene of crime officers pick over the location of the attack. Rob and Sophie's bags, belongings, wine bottle and opener are now accompanied by evidence markers, as is a red dreadlock. A woman in a beige mac, with hair neatly tied up in a bun, shows her ID to an officer. A bearded man is with a colleague.
Yeah, it's probably the worst I've ever seen. It's vile.
It's a dreadlock from the young girl. DC Fally, isn't it?
Hi, yeah.
Come meet everyone. Gonna need you to speak to the kid that called the ambulance. Michael Gorman, his name is.
Mrs. Gorman, I'm DC Farley. It's about your son.
I'll catch you up.
Has something happened?
By a secluded lake under pylons, Michael's teaching a young girl about fishing.
Is there a live hook?
You just want to nick it right, you see. If you nick it like that, fish will see it and be like, takeaways, eh? Horrible, aren't they? Not touch it.
Michael!
His mum's brought DC Farley to see him.
Go and play with the storms here a minute.
Hi, Mum.
I've been trying to call you.
Hi.
I'm Stephanie. I work for the Lancashire Police.
Stand up.
Michael eventually does so.
It was you that called the ambulance, wasn't it? I just wanted to ask a few questions about last night.
You should have told me.
Not to tell.
Was there anyone else on the park?
No.
So there was nobody walking through or...?
No one. I was on my way home, just cutting through the skate park bit.
Where'd you been?
Just about with my mates.
Can I have their names? Because one of them might have seen something, or...
You went off with Sean and Natalie, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but I left them on the road. I went for the skate park bit on my own.
Can I have their names, please, Michael?
Sean and Nat. That was it.
Their full names.
DC Farley finds Sean mending his bike. He and Michael were the ones who met Sophie and Rob in the shop.
Sean McDonough? Detective Constable Farley.
I can't help you. I never even set foot in the park. I left Gorman at the gates.
So he told you what happened then? Because that's word for word what he said. Did you see anybody down on the road?
He shakes his head.
It was a Friday night. There must have been lots of people about. So you saw nobody at all? No one.
He remembers watching.
It was late, wasn't it? Is that it?
Farley steps into a hairdresser's and shows her ID and is shown over to a blonde girl.
It's nothing to worry about. I just need to know what happened last night, okay?
Last night?
The attack on the park.
Weren't no attack whilst I was there.
She remembers watching.
Well, she was where?
The park.
Okay, so you was in the park last night with Michael and your friends.
Yeah, but I had to leave, didn't I? Because I had to be here first thing.
On the night, she and her friend run off.
Can you give me the names of who else was there? Yeah?
She nods as Farley takes out her notebook. Michael and his young sister come up the steep hill to their terraced house and let themselves in to find their mum waiting.
Hey, shoes.
She motions to D.S. Farley.
What?
You were on the park before the attack as well?
I was before.
I'll be back by 3.
Make sure you're in.
She leaves Michael alone with Farley.
I've spent most of my morning driving round, finding out stuff that you could have told me first thing. But you saw people. People that you knew and you spoke to them.
Doesn't mean they had anything to do with it.
Write their names down. Everyone this time. You're lucky I'm not taking you down the station.
Michael sits down on the sofa.
You can stand there the whole time.
At the skate park, a scene of crimes officer takes off his gloves and mask.
I've been into the most obvious off-licence, the petrol station on the main road. They do have CCTV, but they had a problem with the tape from last night. They've got nothing. And even though there are lots of cameras around here generally, it seems like hardly any of them are actually functioning.
Mr. Holden, this is a list of all those present according to the lab. Michael Gorman. The ones that are underlined are confirmed.
She used to be all beat, didn't it, Greeny? Any of them ring a bell?
Herbert and Harris, they've got previous.
At the police station, one of the lads, Ryan, is being questioned.
I think so, yeah.
You saw the attack?
A flashback to him watching the young Goths.
From a distance, seeing something going on, like some sort of fight or something. Didn't see he was involved, though.
How far away were you?
Miles away.
So you're saying there's no way we could find anything on your clothes linking you to the victims? Any blood?
Sit up straight, look them in the eye. You haven't done anything wrong, have you? Has he?
Not unless blood can, like, jump 50 feet or something.
Another lad, Brendan, is reading a statement.
A lad shouted somebody hit him, and as I was drunk and showing off, I did once. But he did not fall, or even stagger. He started to laugh. Somebody shouted, "He's laughing." And a couple of lads, I don't know who, surrounded the male. I'd like to say that I'm very sorry for the man that I assaulted. But as far as I can recall, he did not sustain any injury from my one punch. And I never went nowhere near the girl.
So when the kids wake up, they'll confirm that, will they?
Brendan looks around wide-eyed. At Michael's house.
I didn't want to worry you.
I'm worrying now. How many times have I told you not to hang around the park of a night?
I cut through it, that's all.
Why didn't you ring me?
What? When?
When you found him.
I rung the ambulance.
So why did you leave before the police arrived?
The paramedics were there.
How could you just come in and go to bed without even saying anything?
Oh, that's what I always do. I'm going out. Get off.
If there's anything, any more to this at all, then you tell me. Tell me now, right? I'm giving you a chance, Michael. Tell me now.
What, you think I was part of it?
No.
You don't even know me at all, do you? How is that even fucking possible?
Do you swear on your life?
What?
That you don't know anything any more than you're letting on. No, swear on your sister's life.
No wonder he left.
Do you swear?
Yes!
He leaves, and his mother watches him. Now Michael heads across a field to where Sean's mucking about with a football.
Pass it here, then.
Sean kicks it over, and Michael scores a goal. Later, they're sitting in the terraces together.
We need to shut the fuck up. We never saw those moshes.
Don't call them that.
Hey?
Don't.
You did.
That was then. Now's different.
It's not for us to say anything. They'd kill us.
How can they? Brennan Peanut's still inside.
Not them. Fucking Fauna. And all the others.
Shut up, Walter, now.
At the hospital, while Rob's dad, Dave, stands in the corridor, his mum, Tracy, is sitting by his bedside, staring down at her son with a deep frown. A flashback to Rob reading to Sophie.
We've all got both light and darkness inside of us. What matters is the part you choose to act on. That's who we really are.
Yes.
See?
Mm. Nine.
Nine? Mm. Harry Potter's a 10. It's like the definitive 10.
Mm, I'd still say 9. I've got to give myself somewhere to go. I might give it a read later.
Excuse me, you can start at the beginning, like everyone else.
No, thank you. Are you going?
Let's see.
Rob picks up the lantern and follows her out into the darkness.
Oh, my God, it's freezing.
So cold.
Oh.
Oh, wow, this feels good.
Does it?
Yes.
It's fucking cold.
Now this is a 10. Who says a freezing hilltop can't be romantic?
All right, Romeo, let's get the bus home.
Rob and Sophie running for a bus down a darkened street. The door's shut, and the gang chasing them gesticulate through the window. Now Rob's painting a portrait of a face in vivid colours, intent on the job at hand. Sophie's sitting on a sofa nearby and glances over at him. Eventually, she gets up.
Rob.
What?
You said.
I said when I finished, I haven't finished.
Well, you're never going to finish. We're basically never going to go out again, are we? They're idiots. Just kids.
What are you talking about?
Chips. Kids being chased.
It's got nothing to do with that.
Rob!
What the fuck are you wearing?
Date
on then. Sophie, come on, leave it.
Oh no, you were throwing it. Excellent. Rob.
What? I'll stop shouting my name.
Do you think we did something wrong?
No.
You fucking freak. You fucking freak.
Do what?
Leave it, Soph.
But you think we are?
No, obviously not.
So what are you hiding for?
I'm not hiding.
Fucking Martian.
Prove it. Well, hiding means the idiots win. Come for a drink.
Rob carries on painting half-heartedly.
Fine. If you want to hide away because of idiots like that, you'll be hiding forever. You know where I'll be?
She leaves, and Rob scratches his nose with his paintbrush thoughtfully. Now Rob lying in hospital.
The hematoma appears to be resolving. I think we should start weaning him off the ventilator tomorrow.
I should warn you, we don't know how Robert's going to be when he wakes up. If he's going to be the same Robert that you know, whether or not he'll be able to communicate in exactly the same way that you remember, or even know who you are. And until he's fully off the sedation, it's impossible to ascertain how things are going to be in the long term.
Dave?
Dave's gone out, overwhelmed.
Oh, sorry, it's just a bit,
It's okay. Let me speak to him.
Tracy looks petrified. The low-level sprawl of backup, then D.S. Farley coming out of a building, carrying an envelope. In her car, she takes a CD out of the envelope, opens up the case, and slips the CD into the player in the dashboard.
Emergency, which service are you requiring? Wait, they're fucking coming. They'll see me on the phone. Don't handle. Hello? Hello, are you still there? Hello? Are you still there? Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. There's a lad, and they're both knocked out, and they're making horrible noise. It's fucking blood everywhere. Fucking blood everywhere. No, I can't. I'm on Beagle Park, are you stupid? There's no cloth or towels! I don't fucking know!
Oh, but wait. I'll take my hoodie off, and my t-shirt off, hold on.
Michael struggles out of his hoodie and t-shirt.
I can't, it's all like fucking wound. I'm telling you, it's like fucking coming out the right. I can't do it. Oh, fuck's sake. Where the fuck's the ambulance? Where is it? Yeah, there's a girl. She's not breathing. Fuck, you shouldn't sit up. No. Stay where you are, just calm down. Stay where you are. I'm gonna help. The ambulance is coming for you. It's gonna help you. It's coming for you. Just hold on. Oh, shit, just stay where you are. Oh, fuck. Come on, you're gonna get a
D.S. Farley swallows hard as she listens in her car. She turns the CD off, then dials a number on her phone. Michael's sitting fishing by the river under a tree. D.S. Farley walks over to him and stops a short distance away. He turns to her.
You like it here then? It's nice. Peaceful. I'm surprised you can catch anything in there.
What are you talking about?
Are they just dead little?
Like you give a shit.
I know you were there.
I know. I said I was.
No, during the attack. You were there the whole time, and you started saying that you wasn't, saying that you didn't see anything. They record the calls. I need you to tell me what you saw, Michael.
They'll tell you.
Who will?
The lad and his girlfriend, when they're better.
They're both in a coma. They might never get better. Do you understand that? We won't bring you into the station. We've got somewhere more relaxed. It's basically like a living room. And we'll put you on tape and it'll help you in court.
Are you fucking mad?
There's nothing to worry about.
I can't go to court. I'm not going. Do you not understand that?
Michael.
I never saw nothing.
I'm going to have to confiscate your phone.
You what?
Check your texts, see who you've been in contact with. If you refuse to give it me, I'll have to take you in.
Fuck off.
Here. Contact me. If you want to talk to somebody, or if you...
I haven't got a phone, have I?
He walks off with his fishing gear, having given her his phone. 4 days after the attack, Rob's parents are sitting in the hospital corridor. The doctor comes out of Rob's room.
Mr. and Mrs. Maltby. He's beginning to wake up.
Tracy gets up.
You're not coming.
Can't go in there. Sorry.
Her face set with a grim expression, Tracy heads into the hospital room alone. Glancing at the doctor and nurses, she then looks over at Rob, who's off the ventilator and is lying staring up at the ceiling. She comes over and looks down at his bruised and battered face.
No. Oh, my love.
She strokes his face gently. Dave watches through the window.
You've had us worried sick.
Michael's at the sink in his kitchen when he sees Sean come through the back gate and hand his little sister a sweet.
There you go. Be ringing you.
Cops took my phone. Shouldn't be having them.
Should be all right. Come in the back.
Nah.
Why not?
Give us a sweet.
No, Sam, you're not having no sweets. Go inside.
Mate, if you don't come, it'll look like you've...
What?
Done... Like you've done something wrong. Are you going to?
Inside.
Hi, Mrs. Gorman.
Sean.
Wait there, sir.
Michael goes inside.
They've taken more of your mates in today. Do you know? Do you actually know, like, how it happened and who did what? You have to call that police woman. You have to call her. Now.
No.
You what? Are you serious?
I need to think. I can't think. Everyone's going on at me.
What is it to think about?
You don't get it, do you? You don't get what they'll do to me if I talk to the police.
There are two kids in hospital, I get that. Does that not mean anything to you? Michael. Michael.
What?
You have to tell the truth.
Looking defiant, Michael walks off.
Michael.
He heads out the back door, pulling on his jacket as he goes over to Sean.
I went to the park a lot.
In hospital.
Where's Sophie?
She was hurt as well, but she's in a different hospital. But we think she's going to be okay too. Look, it's your dad.
Where's Sophie?
She's in a different hospital, love.
Why?
Well, she was hurt as well, but we think she's going to be okay.
Have some water.
Of course you can, love.
Tracy gets up.
Can he have
Sean and Michael are at the park.
Fuck, Thorn, is it?
Michael spots a flyer about the attack.
What? All right, Fauna. All right, Sean. Girls, give us a minute. Yes, go on. Come here, mate. Haven't seen you in ages.
Michael walks up the skate ramp to sit next to him.
Come on, lad. I'm worried about you.
Don't need to be.
They say you called the cops.
No. No, never. I rung the ambulance, that's all.
Well, maybe the lion, then. Cops been hanging about you since, haven't they?
Not said nothing. Not a word.
Got your phone?
Not on it. I mean, I rung Sean the next morning, but that doesn't mean nothing. And that, she didn't even answer.
That's good, that, mate. Sam. Look, what happened, yeah? Shouldn't have happened. Probably wouldn't have happened if I was there, but... Definitely wouldn't have happened if you hadn't brought him to the park.
But that's no reason for you to make everything bad for you now, is it?
No.
Well, your mates in, we're gone. Me, Peanut, Bren. Well, your boys, innit?
Yeah.
And your dad went. Who was there?
You.
Yeah?
But if you say a word,
yeah,
we will fucking batter you.
He pulls his finger away from Michael's temple. 7 days after the attack. Low grey clouds hang over the town, with its neat rows of terraced houses. Tracy and D.S. Farley are at Rob's bedside in hospital. His eyes are closed.
Rob, you listening? Rob, she's asking you what you remember about the other night.
I don't know, it's all a bit.
We know that you was at your friend's, but we're not really clear what happened after that. Can you tell me why you just didn't go home? Or why you ended up where you did?
Rob shrugs.
Why did you end up at the park?
The park?
Yes.
What park? Mum? Mum, what's she talking about?
Nighttime at Michael's house.
Hello? Yeah, one sec. Michael! Michael, what shall I do? What do you want me to say to him?
Michael's sitting in his bedroom.
Been down here for years. When he was a little baby, he was white blonde. Oh, sorry, I won't be a second.
D.S. Farley heads out of the room to Mr. Holden, and Tracy watches them talking, her face falling. She sees Mr. Holden shake his head, and D.S. Farley glances in at Rob and Tracy, looking upset. Tracy watches them for a moment longer, then looks over at Rob, who's lying immobile. A flashback to Rob coming up some stairs and opening the door to his flat, where he finds Sophie curled up on the sofa under a blanket, candles burning on the table beside her.
Where have you been? Do you know what time it is?
She looks over at him, then frowns.
What's that?
He smiles, holding out a bag.
Yeah.
Sophie pulls out a hardback copy of Harry Potter and grins.
Alan doesn't...
I waited till midnight when it went on sale. I didn't have any money for the bus home, so...
You walked it?
Aye.
There and back?
Hmm?
It's miles. It's raining.
So?
How would you do that?
Don't you know?
I'm scared.
What?
I don't want it to end. Like, I was a kid, wasn't I, when I started it? I was just a little kid, and I think I still am. But only to the last page. That'll be it then, won't it?
So? Sometimes, even just the memory of happiness is enough to make you happy.
He lies back with his head on her lap. She opens up the book.
We are all human, aren't we? And every human life is worth the same. And worth saving.
10, yeah. Yeah,
definitely 10.
In hospital, Rob's got his headphones on, while a nurse tends to his drip. Tracy smiles at the nurse, who then walks out. Tracy walks over to her son, looking apprehensive.
Rob? Rob?
She removes his headphones.
Rob, I need to talk to you, love. Sophie is actually a lot poorer than we thought, than anyone thought. Rob?
Rob remembers Sophie stroking his hair.
What I'm saying is, she's poorer than you now. A lot poorer. She's still on a machine. Because they've not been able to wake her up. And they're never going to be able to. That's what they've realised. She isn't going to get any better. And they're going to turn a machine off.
Rob stares at her.
Rob?
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
You're going to get better, love.
Mm.
But Sophie isn't. Ever. You should go and see her.
Now she's pushing him through the hospital in a wheelchair. They pass a wall of windows and a nurse going in the opposite direction.
Can I get out?
You're all right, love.
No, I don't want her to see me like this.
It's not going to matter what you look like, honestly.
No, no.
All right, hang on.
He gets up.
Rob, hang on.
No, I'm not.
Just be careful.
As Harry looked at her, he lowered his hand absentmindedly and touched the lightning scar on his forehead. I know he will. The scar had not pained Harry for 19 years. All was well. The end? I'm crying.
Are you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Oh, that's so sad. Don't read it again.
You're so sad.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You'll be all right.
Sophie wipes a tear from her eye. In the present, Rob walks up to her hospital room door and stares in through the window before pushing it open and heading inside. Sophie's lying attached to a ventilator, her face mottled with bruises.
Sophie.
Rob stands looking at her.
Sophie. Hey, Soph, you can wake up now. Come here.
Her eyes remain shut, and Rob turns to look at his mum.
She all right?
No, love. She's very, very, very poorly. It's time to say goodbye to her, love.
Oh.
I'm sorry, darling.
Oh, I don't want to say goodbye.
I know you don't.
Rob stares down at her.
I don't want to go.
Putting one hand on her arm and the other on her shoulder, Rob bends over her in tears. A vision of white confetti fluttering down past their ears as they kiss in the disused warehouse. Then the memory reverses, so the scraps of white paper are floating upwards towards the ceiling, and Rob and Sophie's arms fall down by their sides and their lips part. In the hospital, Rob buries his head into Sophie's shoulder. Now red and black dreadlocks splayed out around Sophie's head as she lies on the metal mortuary table. Her skin is alabaster white, but for the fading bruises around her eyes. A blue-gloved hand reaches out and snips one of her dreadlocks off at its base. In slow motion, it's put into an evidence bag. The pathologist turns back to Sophie's body, while D.S. Farley watches in a blue gown nearby, one hand touching her lip thoughtfully. The pathologist goes round to the other side of Sophie's head and cuts away another dreadlock. A red dreadlock in an evidence bag joins a row of others. D.S. Farley watches the proceedings solemnly. Michael's mum's sitting at the kitchen table. She looks up as Michael walks through carrying a holdall. He stops for a moment, then goes to answer the door. It's D.S. Farley.
Can you not just leave me alone?
Sophie Lancaster died this morning. This is now a murder inquiry. The pathologist said that more than one person had kicked her. Well, stamped on her. And because she got kicked from both sides at the same time, the impact was multiplied.
I tried to save him.
I know. And you can hear that. It's there on the tape. You did save Robert, you did. You have to tell me what went on. Rob can't remember the attack. Or the attackers. We've got forensics, phone calls that can put certain people to the scene, but that's it. It's not enough. Not one person is admitting to going near Sophie, not one. It's down to you, Michael.
Michael remembers watching.
Do something! Don't just stand there!
Move now! Don't move! I'm telling you, move now!
In the present, Michael runs out of the back door and D.S. Farley leaves.
Michael!
Michael and Sean heading into the shop on the night. Then Michael in the present, tearing down a path. In the shop, Sophie smiles back at Michael. D.S. Farley's in her car. Rob and Sophie chatting happily to Michael in the shop. Then Michael running down the street. He races off past a long fence. Sophie and Rob laughing with Michael. Michael runs all the way down to the river, then stops, bending over to catch his breath. D.S. Farley parks her car. Michael's bent over trying to catch his breath. He turns, then rolls his eyes. D.S. Farley's walking down the path towards him.
If I just got to the garage like a minute later, knocks it out, just let him go home. None of this would have fucking happened.
I know that you're scared.
Can't put my name to nothing. I can't make no fucking video.
If you do this for her, if you do this for Robert, for her family.
You asked me to decide of two people I didn't even know, over my mates, over my mates.
I'm asking you to take the side of the victim over her killers. Those mates of yours kicked Sophie Lancaster to death. I can just walk away now. I can just go. But the feeling that you've got right now won't. Don't spend the rest of your life not being able to look anyone in the eye because you're too ashamed. You leave that to the others. Leave that to them.
Michael takes a deep breath, then covers his face with his hands.
Oh, I like to.
Michael and Sean leaving the shop with them, chatting amicably. In the present, Michael looks anguished.
I just thought we'd have a nice night.
Tell me what happened, Michael.
That night, Michael and Sean walk up to the skate park.
Anything you've got a shit purse
Yeah,
but he's...
Hey, this is Rob and Sophie.
All right.
He's got some wine.
Oh, I always wanted one of them. Always wanted one, but my mum wouldn't let us.
You need us.
Yeah.
Right, too.
Okay.
Oi, Brendan, he's talking to you. Don't worry about him, he's being a moody bastard.
He's a puff, Brent.
Show your mum. Standing a lot with weirdos like that.
Yep.
Sophie passes round her cigarettes.
You guys could come here more often.
Thanks.
Hey, Danny man!
One sec.
Nice one.
As Sophie continues sharing out her cigarettes, another couple of lads come over to the skate park. They greet Brendan by gripping hands and bumping shoulders.
What the fuck you hanging out with them moshers for?
It's alright, the sound.
Yeah, whatever.
Michael comes over to the girls, who are hanging about with Rob and Sophie.
Alright.
Michael offers Rob a joint.
What's that?
No, I'm alright. High enough.
What?
Life.
Yeah, boy, life.
Fuck are you doing? Don't be tight!
You can shut the fuck up as well.
Brendan and the other lads are loitering in a group a short distance away.
Just if he's gonna roll one, innit?
That's rolled one, roll it.
Yo, they've been there for about 2 years. You don't
want to drink them. Some cigs in that over there, though. Go and grab a cig.
Yeah, why don't you go over there, mate?
Mix in with them, mix in with them.
Fuck that, bro.
Weirdos, man.
I'd never have the bottle. What? Dressed like that?
Did you never have that thing at school where you were like desperate for the bell to go so you could take off your tie and undo your shirt and stop looking like everyone else?
Every fucking day.
Why would you dress exactly the same as them when you got home then?
You'd suit them boots, you.
Well, your mum got a pair of them boots.
Nah, don't be silly.
You'd suit them, though.
No, I wouldn't, mate.
Definitely would.
Why are you all teaming up on me in that?
Don't like uniforms. Can I have a picture with you? Of course. No, no one's ever asked for a picture before.
Listen, you know I'll clean them off the park. Right, so you all teaming up on me now, yeah, yeah. Yeah, fuck off.
Oi, Gorman!
Get over here.
Michael goes over to Brendan and the others.
Why the fuck did you bring them here?
It's alright, man, it's on.
He needs proper banging
him. They're not doing anything.
You know what? I'll do it.
Sean and the girls have their arms around Rob and Sophie, ready for a photo.
Well, go on then, smile. You ready? You in?
Right, man, this on.
Don't do nothing, you shit house.
Shut up, you know what we're shit house. You won't do nothing.
Leave it, come on.
Do something then.
Weirdos. Stop winding him up, you know he's going to do something.
Suddenly, Brendan runs over and punches Rob.
Weirdos.
Fuck off!
Michael watches, frozen to the spot, as Rob reels in shock. Sean tries to stop Brendan going for Rob again, but he lays into him, hitting him to the ground. Sophie pulls Brendan off him, hitting him. Then all Brendan's mates head over, rounding on Rob, while Michael remains rooted to the spot. Sophie tries in vain to stop them kicking at Rob from all sides as his head lolls, bleeding. When they're done, she kneels over him. Michael stands watching as Sophie checks over Rob's bleeding head. She looks round at the others encircling her.
What is wrong with you? Do something! Somebody! Please!
Move,
do
that's
something!
Me.
Move!
Alright, alright. Do something! Don't just stand there!
Move!
Please!
Get the fuck off me!
Move now! Don't move! I'm telling you, move now! Move!
Told you,
move!
You
better move now! Don't move! I'm telling you, move!
Move!
Move! Move now! Move! Move! Move!
Ryan boots Sophie in the face, sending her flying away from Rob. The others all stand watching in shock. Sophie lies sprawled on the ground for a moment, then struggles to get up. But Ryan stamps on her fiercely. The girls quickly run off, and Sean grabs Michael to come with them, as Ryan and his mates lay into Sophie on the ground. But Michael stops, looking back and putting his phone to his ear.
Emergency, which service are you?
He sees Brendan and Ryan stamp on her viciously.
Still playing, what?
Hello? Hello, are you still there?
They leave Rob and Sophie sprawled unconscious on the ground. In the present, DS Farley watches Michael intently.
I didn't do anything to stop it. I was scared. He said that I saved the lad. I didn't. She did. Sophie.
Farley keeps watching him.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Now Michael's being interviewed at the police station.
For the benefit of the tape, this concludes our interview with Michael Gorman.
Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
His mother touches his arm proudly. Ryan Peanut Herbert, guilty of murder, sentenced to life imprisonment, minimum 16 years and 3 months.
Right.
Brendan Harris, guilty of murder, sentenced to life imprisonment, minimum 18 years.
Thank you.
Joseph and Danny Hume, guilty of grievous bodily harm with intent, sentenced to 5 years, 10 months each.
Thank you.
Danny Mallett, guilty of grievous bodily harm with intent, sentenced to 4 years, 4 months.
Come on. Proud of you.
In the toilet, Rob rests his foot on a bar, doing up a sturdy black goth boot. He opens a door to come into a pub. In the toilet, he puts on a number of silver skull rings. He walks across the pub and looks over at the end of the bar, where Sophie's standing looking at a jukebox. He pulls on a thick silver studded belt.
Doesn't hurt me.
Sophie turns to look at him.
You wanna feel how it
feels. In the toilet, he puts on another belt, then drapes a thick metal chain around his neck. Looking at Sophie, Rob holds up his hand, which has "Hey" written on the palm. In the toilet, he lines his eyes with thick black makeup, bruises still visible on his face. Sophie smiles at him. In the toilets, Rob ruffles his jet black hair into position, staring at his reflection. Sophie steps up to him. Rob leans forward, putting his mouth to her ear.
Don't be scared again.
They press their foreheads together. In the present, Rob stares at himself in the mirror, nodding defiantly. He comes out of the hospital toilets to find his mum waiting for him. They smile at each other. Together, they head out. In the cab later, he's sitting with his earphones in.
Yeah, excuse me, can you pull over here, please?
What?
I want to get out and walk through town, listen to some music.
Oh, he's throwing it down, though.
I know, it's fine.
What?
Mum, it's fine. You can go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Sorry, my lad wants to get out of here.
The car stops, and Rob gets out. Slinging his bag over his shoulder, he heads off down the rain-sodden street. As people wander past under their umbrellas, Rob strides off towards the market. Sophie Lancaster was murdered 10 years ago. Last year, there were nearly 70,000 reported cases of hate crime in Britain, the highest figure since records began. This film was made with the cooperation of Robert Maltby and his family, and of Sophie's mother, Sylvia Lancaster. A photo of the real Sophie Lancaster, smiling with bright blue eyes and red and black dreadlocks. Then Robert Maltby, with piercings in his lip and ear. Photos of the young couple together. And Sophie with studs in her bottom lip and a nose ring, her long dark hair framing her young face.